Let's read from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 17. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him, and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And perhaps just if you could keep your finger in that passage there, we're going to turn to the letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're just going to read two verses there before turning back to Luke 18. It's Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. And it says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word. You know, I don't know about you, but whenever you go for a job interview, you know, very often the advice a lot of people will give you is they'll say, you know, you've got to sell yourself. You've really got to sell yourself. You know, we're told not to put ourselves down, but, you know, we're told to list our achievements and we're told to list our accomplishments. And, you know, we don't find this attitude just in whenever we go for job interviews. We find this throughout society. You know, we're told that we have to emphasize all our qualities and emphasize all our achievements. But, you know, someone once said, It's a dangerous thing, though, because someone once said, pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick but the one who has it. You know, we find this attitude of pride and contrasted with humility displayed in this parable. And, you know, in this parable, it's one of contrasts. We read of two men. We read of two prayers. And then we read of two results of those prayers. You know, these are two very different men. You know, and Jesus often used parables to teach the people. You know, a very simple definition of a parable, I'm sure, is one you could all quote me. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And, you know, the Lord used many parables to teach the people. And, you know, he'd been talking with the disciples. If you look back to the previous chapter, he'd been talking to his disciples, and he'd been also talking to a group of Pharisees as well. And he'd been trying to explain previously about prayer in the parable just before this. He'd be explaining about the importance of persistence in prayer. And here he continues that theme, and here he talks about humility in prayer and also about being accepted into the kingdom. And I want to look at tonight, I want to look at four things. I want to look at how the world saw these men, how Jesus saw these men. And then I want to look at how the men saw themselves. And then finally, how to be accepted by God. Firstly, how the world saw these men. You know, I don't know how much you know about the Pharisees, but they were a very religious group within the Jews, a religious sect. And the word Pharisees itself, it comes from the word to separate. They were very strict observers of the law. They were very strict observers of the traditions and rituals. And Matthew 23 tells us a little bit about them. In Matthew 23, we find a little bit more about those Pharisees. They were men who not only rigidly observed the law, but they even wore part of the law on their foreheads and even tied to their arms as well. And it says the men were respected as they would go through the streets and as they would go through the markets. People would greet them with the title Rabbi or Teacher. It also says they fasted and they tithed regularly. You know, in the Pharisee in this parable, the Lord uses the illustration of a man who fasted twice a week. You know, the Jews were only supposed to fast once a year on the Day of Atonement, and he fasted twice a week. And, you know, he also tithed everything that he received. You know, these were men who were well respected in Jewish society. In fact, you couldn't have a bigger contrast to the Pharisee than the publican. The publican, of course, was a tax collector. Now, the taxman wasn't too popular in those days, just as the taxman maybe isn't too popular today. And if there is anyone here from the Inland Revenue, I do apologize right now. You know, I often remember back, though, when I first started work, you know, the excitement of getting your very first pay packet. The excitement of opening that first pay packet, and then you looked at it. And then, of course, the figure that caught your eye was the amount that the taxman was taking off you. You know, but the taxman in those days was much more corrupt. The taxman in those days was held in great disregard in society because he collected taxes for the Roman government. And because of this, the publicans were seen as traitors to their people since they were working for the Roman society. And you know, they were often corrupt and they were known for extorting money. And, you know, we can only think back to Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. And if you remember when, you know, Zacchaeus repented of his sin, he said he would restore fourfold to those who he had defrauded. And, you know, Jesus himself was criticized for associating with sinners. And, you know, there are verses where it talks about he associated with sinners and tax collectors. The tax collectors were so corrupt, they got almost a category of their own. You know, even their testimony wasn't acceptable in court. Because they were held in such disregard, because they weren't trusted, even their testimony wasn't trusted in court. And in fact, the Jewish Talmud says that it was actually okay to lie and deceive a tax collector, because they said that was what a professional extortioner deserved. And you know, these were people who, you know, there was different taxes. There was taxes that was fixed, but then there was taxes that they changed a little bit. They could tax people on what they earned. They could tax people on the vehicles. When I talk about vehicles, I'm talking about carts. You know, whatever a cart they had, they were taxed on the number of axles in the cart. As one author lists that. They were taxed on things like, you know, how many animals they would use to pull the cart. They were taxed on the use of the road. And you know, the taxman in those days, they certainly dug their arm in, so to speak. It was greatly abused. And you know, it's obvious to see the people listening to this parable in Luke 18, who they would be sympathetic to. And it wasn't the publican. But you know, I want to look at how Jesus saw these men. Jesus was very critical of the Pharisees. And while the people saw men who were religious, Jesus saw men who were firstly proud. That passage in Matthew 23, verses 5 to 12, it says they did their works to be seen of men. I mentioned before, they wore part of the Jewish law, actually on their person. And it says that they would sit at the uppermost rooms and that they would sit at feasts in the most prominent positions. They'd sat there to be seen. But you know, they're respected by people. But you know, these men were self-righteous. You know, righteous simply means right standing before God. And you know, they thought they could be more righteous if they followed the laws and the ceremonies. But you know, Jesus said they appeared righteous only outwardly. Even though they tried to keep the laws, Jesus himself was very critical of them. In that passage in Matthew 23, in verse 3, it says they didn't practice what they preached. It also says in verse 5 that they did these things to be noticed of others. But you know, verse 27, the most well-known, probably a criticism of these Pharisees, is that Jesus said they were like whitewashed tombs. They looked beautiful on the outside, but inside it was full of dead bones and uncleanness. You know, Matthew 23 is very critical of these Pharisees, but you know, not all their practices were wrong, but their religion was empty. You know, I wonder, can we identify with anyone in this parable? You might say, you know, well, I try and live a good life. I try and live a good life and keep the commandments. You maybe even read your Bible. You maybe go to church regularly. Maybe others even sitting around you tonight, sitting even beside you or in front of you, think you are a Christian. Do you know, if you're depending on living a good life to make you right with God, then I'm sorry, but that's not good enough. You see, the Bible tells us we've all sinned. Romans 3:23 says, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's like an archer aiming towards a target. We've missed the mark. The Pharisee too would fall short. But look at how Jesus saw these men. The tax collector. Jesus was known as the friend of sinners. The Lord ate with tax collectors and he sought out the people who others would avoid. Not just those. The Lord loved those. He loved everyone. He loved the popular people in society, but he also loved those who weren't as popular. You know, Luke 19, verse 10 reminds us why he came to earth. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus died because, for God so loved the world. He loved the world so that he gave himself that we might have eternal life. He saw sinners in need of a Savior. But look at how the men saw themselves in their prayers. First of all, the Pharisee. You know, our prayers really reveal a lot about our hearts. And the Pharisee's prayer, well, we call it a prayer, but can we really call it a prayer? Because he's not praising God. He's not really talking to God, but he's talking to himself. He stood in the temple. Look at his position there. He stood in the temple alone, away from others. You know, he stood in a place that he'd be noticed. Look at how he prayed. His prayer was self-important. He felt that he could be bold because, you know, he'd worked hard. And he'd felt that because he'd worked hard and kept the laws, that he thought he deserved to be heard by God. And then look at what he prayed. He prayed that he compares himself to other men. He thanked God he wasn't an extortioner. He thanked God that he didn't take money from others. You know, maybe this was a bit of a dig at the publican. You know, maybe he looked around and sneered even at this. And you know, in this parable it says that, thank God I'm not unjust. He tried to love others and treat others fairly. And then he said, I thank God that he wasn't like the adulterers. He tried to keep himself pure. You know, sometimes we look at others too. Sometimes we look at others and we say to ourselves, well, you know, we hear of terrible tragedies and, you know, on our TV screens. We hear of people who have killed others. You know, and we say, you know, thank God I'm not like that. We can say, we can measure ourselves up to people. We can even measure ourselves up to our neighbours. You know, we've no cause for pride, though, because we're all sinners in need of a Saviour. And you know, he listed next his good deeds. You know, there's nothing wrong with fasting or tithing, but this man thought that it meant that God would hear his prayer above others. He thought that meant he was righteous, but was he? You see, someone described this as the man had an eye problem. Notice the number of eyes in his prayer. He said, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. His prayer was self-centered. You know, let's look at how he measured up in God's eyes. And let's measure him and ourselves against the law of God. You know, the Bible tells us that one of the commandments are, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You see, the law and the ceremonies were his God. You know, his image and view of God was different than what it says about God in his word. You know, he believed that God would give more attention to him because he kept these laws and he kept these rituals. You know, how about us? Do we make a God that suits us? Some people say, you know, well, I can't believe in a God that would punish sin and send someone to hell. But you know, if we think that, and if we believe that, we've just made an image of God to suit ourselves. Because that's not how God's word, what it tells us about God. You know, the God of the Bible hates sin. Romans 6:23 said, the wages of sin is death. And I'll be coming back to that verse a little bit later. You know, if we lie, we sin against God. But of course, God doesn't just judge our actions. He knows our thoughts as well. Matthew 5:28 tells us that God sees us. If God sees us looking at someone with lust in our heart, it's as if we've committed adultery already in our hearts. If we look at someone with hate in our hearts, it's murder. That's what it says in 1 John 3. James 2 verse 10 says, For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You know, sometimes we try and earn salvation in our own ways. Maybe by trying to live a good life. Maybe by going along to church. Maybe by doing charity work. You know, what does the Bible say, though? Romans 10, verse 3 says, For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So the word righteousness, it's just talking about our standing before God. We're made righteous with God if we confess our sin and come humbly to Him in submission. Look at the publican's prayer, though, in contrast to this. It says the publican stood afar off. You see, there were a number of courts in the temple. There were courts for the Israelites and there were courts for the Gentiles as well. And those who came to the temple to pray would have to stand a certain distance from one another. You know, so you wouldn't hear the prayers of another person. But you know, notice this man stood afar off. Because when he came away, you know, when he thought of his life, and when he thought of his sin, you know, maybe he thought, well, I have a lot to confess here. Maybe I need to be further away. You know, he knew the Pharisee probably would have been displeased if he stood anywhere even near him. This man felt so unworthy, he couldn't even lift up his eyes. And you know, a child who's often been caught doing wrong sometimes can't look their parents in the eye. You know, they often look to the ground. So this man was so humbled by his sin. It also says that he beat his chest to show his great grief. Wearsby says that he smote his breast because he knew that was where his greatest problem was. It was in his heart. He was deeply aware of his sinful state. And you know, that's what I've been trying to do tonight, to show you that, you know, if you were to meet God tonight, if you were to pass, you know, into eternity tonight, you're in a very serious situation. If you haven't repented from your sin, then you'll face judgment. You know, look at what he prayed. He prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, the Pharisee came to make an appearance, but the publican came to make an appeal. Pride is a dangerous thing because it blinds us to how we stand before God. You know, we know that God is a holy God. And the tax collector, he focused on God. And when he focused on God and the holiness of God, he realized how he fell short. You know, you see, outwardly, people can seem respectable. You know, we can put on a suit and we can go along to church. But, you know, the Lord knows our hearts. He sees the real us. You know, he knows if we go to church out of duty or if we're going truly to praise God, to worship him and to learn from his word. You know, another thing we see from the publican's prayer, it was simple. It was honest. You know, it wasn't long and it didn't need to be. And you know, this prayer it's a lot to teach us, those of us who are Christians here as well. You know, his prayer was honest. Because whenever we come before God, you know, whenever we pray, We're not praying for the benefit of those around us. You know, we're praying for an audience of one. We're praying to God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying whenever we pray that, you know, we shouldn't pray for our own needs or the needs of others. You know, because when we do this, we glorify God. We acknowledge our dependence in God and we give Him the right place in our lives. But our focus of our prayers should be on God. You know, we've looked at the problem of sin in our lives, but, you know, I want you to meet a Savior tonight who can forgive you. And that brings me to my last point, how we can be accepted by God. You see, that passage in Ephesians chapter 2 that we read said it's not by works that we're saved, but it's by the grace of God. Grace is simply showing God's mercy to the undeserving. You know, when we examine ourselves in the light of God's word, we see ourselves as we truly are. You know, whenever I look in a mirror in the mornings, you know, I see how I am. I look in that mirror to see, you know, the damage that's been done, how I've lay the night before, and the crease marks that maybe are on my face, and the hair all every shape in the morning. You know, the mirror shows us as we are. So God's word shows us how we are. It shows us, for as we are, we're sinful. You know, we deserve death, but instead God offers us the gift of salvation. That's God's grace. You know, that word grace in its many forms is spoken of approximately 400 times in the Old Testament and about 200 times in the New. It's a thread that's throughout the Bible in different forms, the word in different forms. But someone once described it as grace is what distinguishes Christianity from other religions. Every other religion says that you need to be a good person, but Christianity says that we are not a good person. We aren't a good person. Yet, through God's grace, we can be forgiven. It's not about what we do. It's about what's already been done. And that was Christ's death on the cross for us. You see, our sins were laid upon Him. He paid the price for our sin. You know, that's how He showed grace, by giving of His Son, by God giving of His Son for us. Through Him, we can receive the gift of salvation. But, you know, like any gift, we have a choice to make. You know, we're coming into Christmas time, and as many of you know, at Christmas time, you know, you get gifts, hopefully, on Christmas Day. Some of those gifts may be wanted gifts. Some of them maybe not. You know, we have a choice when we get a gift. We can accept a gift, or we can reject a gift. You know, it's not, we can't earn salvation. We can either accept it or we can reject it. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And you know, we can see this in the results of their prayers. Because the Pharisee came in, he left as he came in. He came in self-righteous, and that's exactly how he left. You know, those listening might have been shocked because, you know, they might have expected that the Pharisee would be the one accepted and the publican rejected. But, you know, Jesus emphasizes the fact by saying, "I tell you this." He was emphasizing that, you know, this Pharisee had left just as he came in. The publican, the tax collector, he was justified. He was accepted. He was approved of God. He was declared righteous. That's what that word means. You know, God can forgive you tonight. If you earnestly seek Him, that's the first prayer He wants to hear from us. A prayer for forgiveness. I quoted earlier Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. But in the second half of the verse says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, I wonder what we're putting our trust in tonight. Is it good works? You know, it can be difficult for those maybe who have been brought up in a church from childhood, you know, but yet, you know, you've maybe never repented yourself. You know, we look, you can look around and you can see the lives of others. You know, and we can look at others and see those who are, you know, swearing, those who are in broken marriages today, and we see sin. We can see sin around us. You know, that's the same attitude of the Pharisee, though. We can look at others and say, look what terrible people they are. Look at the terrible things that those people have done. There are people here involved in terrorism and so on, or actively involved in terrorism. And we can see, we can look at them. We can sometimes unconsciously compare ourselves to them. But, you know, that's the same attitude of the Pharisee, though. You see that verse, the verses we read in Ephesians chapter 2, remind us that what matters most is the object of our faith. You know, what's ours? Are we looking to others? Are we comparing ourselves to others? Is it money? Is that our goal? Is it success? Is it a relationship? As I say, it's not about what we do. We can't earn this salvation. It's what's already been done. You know, an elderly man on his deathbed said it well. He said, I have just taken all my good works and bad works and thrown them right overboard, and I'm going to heaven on the basis of free grace. You know, the latter verse in that passage we read in Luke, it tells us we're to come to God with a simple childlike faith. A child completely trusts his father. You know, if the father asks a child to jump into his arms, the child will do it because it trusts the father completely. So we need to trust him completely. And since we're talking about children, you know, it's, you know, believing in the Lord and having your sins forgiven, it's as simple almost as ABC sometimes. We teach the children this sometimes. You know, A, we need to admit that we have a problem. We have that problem of sin in our lives. B, we need to believe that Christ alone can save us from our sins. See, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us from our sins. You know, we need to turn from our sin and turn to God. You know, as we sit here in these closing moments of this meeting tonight, you know, examine our hearts. You know, I don't know who is a Christian here and who isn't. You know, you may come along to this meeting every week. Others, as I say, may even think you're a Christian, and maybe you're not. Or maybe, you know, you trusted Christ some time ago and you've gone away from him, you've drifted away from him, you've gone your own way. You know, don't be like this Pharisee. You know, don't look at others, don't compare yourself to others. But, you know, look at who you are before God. That's what the tax collector did. He looked at who he was before God, and as he realized who God is, he realized how unworthy he was. You know, he knows you tonight. He knows your life. He knows your heart. If God's speaking to you tonight, don't ignore him. Don't walk out that door tonight without speaking to someone. Speak either to myself or speak to Pastor Taylor or one of the elders here. Or maybe even a Christian friend that's brought you. But you know, as I say, that gift of grace, it is a gift. And like any gift, we can accept it or reject it. And I pray tonight that you wouldn't reject it. I pray that you won't leave tonight without putting yourself